This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Interesting that I dropped that. You know, there's an item at Kevin Randall's blog, Different Perspective, talking about the Betty Hill star map that, you know, brought us the suspicion that Zeta Reticuli had something to do with it. Now there are other ideas all these years later. Just wanted to mention that.
To me, it was one of the interesting presentations we had was from a Dr. Kevin Knuth that talked about the basically the constraints on relativistic interstellar travel. And one of the things that was mentioned in his presentation was that, you know, we look from here and we define things like constellations and various other kinds of things that are out there, and we see the sky from our perspective. But when you get into interstellar travel, one of the big concerns is, how are you going to know how to get back? In other words, you know, we don't have those star maps for every single aspect of the known universe. So from a different perspective, you know, how would you begin to identify that? And then you have to consider the fact that when you would come back, let's say, from your short trip of going out there, and I'm talking about, you know, maybe months or whatever like that, if you were traveling at near speed of light kind of speed, if you could, then you would get back, and of course, thousands of years have elapsed on Earth. And, you know, in fact, the planet Earth is not in the same position that it was, and neither is the sun. And suddenly you have to deal with a whole level of other kind of planning. So the notion there is that typically if you decide you're going to go interstellar, you become more nomadic. In other words, you would go congregate as a group if you're going to do this from a human standpoint and become like nomads, if you would. And there are people in Indonesia, you pointed out, for example, that live on little boats, and they just always live on the boats, and that's where they are. And they have this whole nomadic group that, if you would, it's like that. Well, you put it in that context, you know, now you're traveling out as a group and, you know, let's say you get to find another planet. Then from there, you might split out and some of you might go off to the next location. And then again, you have the same problem with the time dilation kind of phenomenon that we would expect from here on Earth. And then, you know, we got into discussion, for example, materials don't handle well in space. They break down, as we all know, that, you know, the little robots we got on Mars, that things, materials break down and have problems. And that's a challenge for us. Then you also, you know, if you think about driving at this, you know, a very fast speed in a car and someone throws a pebble in front of it, well, what would that do to the windshield? Well, subatomic particle or cosmic rays and that type of thing are out in space. And those become bullets that even if you're traveling at that speed and in fact would hit you. So we've had this kind of a conversation where we were saying like, how easy is it for us to do that? But yet here we are faced with objects that when you take a look at, for example, the case with the Nimitz case, you take a look at the Bethune case in 1951, you take a look at the JAL 1628 aircraft in 1986, that you find that these objects and the accelerations that they had were basically thousands of Gs. With that being the case, and if they travel these incredible speeds in these few cases right here, basically you're talking like accelerations ranging from 300 Gs to 2,000 Gs. And you're talking about the fact that they can hang in there and still be in one piece, if you would. That's a pretty remarkable thing, right? It's definitely saying that something's out there that's potentially has defied the laws of physics as we understand them, and we're still kind of like new to the game. But they're using things that are far superior to us, and we've already been told that basically an intelligent race that does make it here, probably their types of means of propulsion and things like that would be magic to us, and indeed that's what we're seeing. And they've always been that way. I mean, back in the 1950s and Project Blue Book cases and stuff like that, you know, you had objects that were moving, and they'd stop and they'd hover, and then they would reverse their direction immediately. And they would. And we've also got Lou Elizondo talking about the fact that they recorded clearly on radar and had the radar of objects that are moving in excess of 5,000 miles an hour. Okay, folks, we have the data. We already know that there's something that's out there doing it, and the question of whether they exist is already been answered. But where are they from is open to interpretation. Some indicate that they look like more like time machines than they are spacecraft, or maybe they're interdimensional. But that gets us into the speculation, no more different than the fact of string theory and everything else, which are all still very conceptual. We have challenges in science. We're not there yet, and we're always a little bit further behind, but I think we're going in the right direction, and that's where we're trying to go.
One of the most important points I think that you made there, amongst all of them, which are make perfect sense, is that so we know that they're here. We know that they're real. We don't have all the answers, but we're talking about here some sort of alien craft. We're not simply talking about UAPs, which could be, well, maybe it's some sort of unknown bird. You know what I mean? Or some sort of maybe it's kind of a plasma phenomena that just, you know, pops up somewhere, right? That I don't think that when we're talking about something that looks like this machine, you know, when you use the word machine, that means we're talking about something that's constructed. And well, if it wasn't constructed by us, it's got to be constructed by, well, the only alternative is something alien. Now, we don't know where they come from. We don't know, like you say, who they are, if there is even beings in them. We just know that these devices or these craft exist.
I didn't use the word alien, but and I guess what I'm trying to get at is we don't even know that well enough yet. There are multiple hypotheses of where these things might come from, and none of them have been completely rejected or even proven wrong. So I'm going to caution that you use the word the ET when it could also be, again, that, and there are indications of this. If you take a look, for example, at the case like in Rendlesham Forest, and if you believe that the Pedestal went up and touched it and got a whole bunch of ones and zeros, and if you look at the ones and zeros, which are binary code, they indicate that the craft that was there is from the future and basically Earth-based. They could have been here all along. In fact, they could have been here first. They could have basically helped build us out of genetic code. So would you call them ET, or would you call them humans on the planet Earth that just are a different species? There could be robots that are, we're sending robots out. Maybe these are just like robotic kinds of surveillance kind of craft. You could also be looking at from the context that they are us from the future and coming back. And I've had people at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base who actually believe that we're scientists. We just don't know what we don't know. You know, the problem that I kind of like alluded to was that everybody jumps to having the answer that they have to be alien. And I'm just cautious about that. And I think that that's where we say we don't really know what these things are.
When I use the word alien, I mean from beyond the boundaries and constructs of our known civilization. It's sort of like that's how biology uses the word. Yeah. Say, if there's some organism or something that comes from outside of the environment in which it's found. So in our case, it's human civilization. If these things were part of our civilization, I think that we'd know about them. Someone would. I don't think that we're dealing with strictly classified military hardware here. It seems to be beyond that.
We're saying the same thing because it's ultimately, it's not military hardware. Now, again, if you have, let's say initially somebody from an interstellar flight came here and landed on Earth and they chose to use water, then maybe we could be having another race, if you would, that's living underneath the water and using it as a base. They just use this and then they hop off and go and do what they want to do, whatever they want to do.
I could really buy into the nomadic theory, and you make some really great points about that because, you know, it could explain, for example, things like the large motherships and dropping off smaller craft like reconnaissance craft. And you have, you know, ufologists like Stanton Friedman is kind of, this is what he thinks is that's what we're dealing with, is large craft that are perhaps nomadic, that can travel between the stars as well. And that solves a lot of problems in terms of getting from one system to another.
Let's travel here and figure out what's going on with Gene, Randall, and Rich. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-844-9702 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-844-9702 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-844-9702 now and start learning to trade the right way. Simply call 855-844-9702. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Gold is a better way. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. The book may not be for you, but the tens of thousands who've read it have been blown away to learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. We're so confident this book will change the way you think about investing, we've purchased 1,000 copies from the publisher and are giving them to serious investors. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, we'd like to send you your copy. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776. You can buy it on Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, or text bestseller and get it for free. Text bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Gold is a better way. Text bestseller to 49776.
Homemakers, groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always price less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
In terms of all the speculation about interstellar travel, what about warp drive? Really, they're looking into it.
I mean, it's going to take a long time to figure that one out. We're just in the conceptual notion. We haven't figured out what would create the Alcubierre drive or something of that nature yet, and how would you get the energy. And then a great point that was made in this thing with if you allegedly put humans on board that, you know, again, how do you shield them from the radiation and various other kinds of things that are out there? And even on the craft or whatever it uses for propulsion system, we are just way at the early speculative point about the fact that we could possibly do that. But that's as far as it goes. Science hasn't figured out a way to make that. We're still using rocket engines and everything else. So yeah, it's going to be a long time coming for something like that to happen.
But the cool thing about it is you guys are approaching this from a real critical thinking perspective, and where you can apply real science, you're making an effort to do that with people who have genuine academic credentials. And I think this really brings a lot of credibility to ufology, and can't sort of commend this effort of the Scientific Coalition for Ufology enough for doing that. It's absolutely fabulous.
I mean, the way we looked at it, we came out of, most all of us were, I mean, not the initial board member. We're all MUFON people. And we saw that MUFON was going, in directions counter to where we wanted to go. And so we left, and we ended up creating our own group primarily because we were trying to bring science back into the fold where it was going. MUFON.
Well, tell us a bit more about that, because from your bio, you were with MUFON almost from its inception. And, can you tell us sort of your experiences with MUFON and kind of what led you to become disillusioned with them, maybe in a little more specific terms?
When I got started, it was, Walt Andrus had it going, and it seemed to be very exciting. And it was new to me, so it was kind of like new and very interesting. And it helped give structure to the going out and looking at cases, and the notion of having them investigated is very, very valuable, because if you're going to collect scientific or data that you can use to understand the phenomena, then you need to have all of the IFOs eliminated. And so if you can have somebody do that, like investigative work, then it's important for you to do that. And then so that you can now take a look at only the cases that are the unknowns and say, well, what can you make out about those? And so many times what we see is a lot of people that are taking things that are IFOs and trying to make rational deductions and have included those in the population and are suddenly trying to like now determine how a bird flies or something of that nature. And so, after all these years of doing investigative work for MUFON, and I was the state in Dayton when I was talking about those police, I was the state section director for Dayton, Ohio, and my cases were going to MUFON. I've been with them for a very long time. I actually signed up when they were called the Midwest UFO Network, and that's before they became the Mutual UFO Network. What I'm trying to get at is that I was with them for a very long time, and then actually what happened was I was originally in Virginia at Fort Belvoir with the Army Material Command there, and then they relocated down here to Alabama, and I decided to move with them. And so I moved with them, came down here, and got into Alabama, and then found out that there were kind of like not well-structured, and the person that was in charge of the state wasn't really doing a lot of, I thought, good work with it. And eventually, I took over the state, and then I also took over Mississippi for a while as well as the state, because we didn't have one there. So I was in charge of the state investigations, and so I've done a lot of investigations. I did my own investigations on a lot of cases there. Added to the Dayton thing, I've done, like I said, almost 1,000 cases. And then I got pulled up at the national level. I was the deputy director of investigations for them. And I became what they call the star team manager, which basically meant that the more critical cases, we would get the best FIs out working those cases to get the best data. And then as I was continuing up there, I was learning about some of the other problems that were going on, and I started to see the database wasn't sufficient in terms of how it was being treated. A lot of cases, you could see the bias on them. You could see that they were misidentified by even the investigator that was investigating them. And you'd see their bias, like that they'd be talking about motherships and their reports that they put together. Well, they don't need to be talking about motherships, and they need to be focused more on the scientific aspects. And then you look at the the inaccuracy of a person determining at night the distance of an object or a light, you know? You know, suddenly when you try to, you know, look at this from a scientific standpoint and say, can I make any of this make sense? You ran into problems with it. I would see cases like, you know, for example, I witnessed what they call, it was a secret project that Google had called Project Loon. And one October morning, I was out looking at, and I saw up in the sky something that I couldn't identify. And I thought, well, maybe this is my first encounter. It was like 9 o'clock in the morning. A bright sunny day, and a light was rotating kind of like around or something like that. It would go light, dark. Anyway, the bottom line was I got reports and I started like checking into it and found that it was seen going through multiple states all the way up and it made it into Canada. Anyway, I tracked it in the MUFON database and I was able to see the reports and the descriptions and match it up. And it was going with the wind. And so I realized that it was going at a relatively snail pace with the wind, and the wind pattern showed that it would head up there. And determined that it might have been a balloon of some sort. And then one person got actually a very close-up photo of it, and it indeed looked like a translucent, like balloon, if you would. But it was cylindrical. So everybody was calling it a UFO, and all the news media got a hold of it. It was all over the place, all over the internet, all over Facebook as a UFO.
Oh, right.
And later on, I was able to actually contact I got a hold of a friend of mine who actually knew one of the board members to Google. And I went and had a conversation with that individual. And then he put me in charge of the project manager for Project Loon. And then I talked with him, and he told me that it was released here from Huntsville, and it was a NASA kind of like balloon that they were testing. And the idea of the Project Loon is to use balloons to be able to bring internet to local areas. And if you just
I've heard of that.
Yeah, okay. So that's what they were attempting to test, to see whether they could use balloons in that capacity.
Interesting.
Well, the point that I'm trying to get at is that if you take a look at those reports, when I was working with state directors telling them to say, well, we identified what it was. It's an IFO. Well, many of them didn't want to change it in their database. And so there's like, you know, well, I call it an IFO. They call it a UFO. And so it's not even consistent.
No, that doesn't sound very good.
Well, it's not. And so then you find out, well, you know, you need to be looking at cases that go into other states. I mean, these things are not staying within a given state. They go across state lines all the time.
All the time we have these announcements between segments with Gene, Rich, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Trump administration says it's cutting direct U.S. aid to three Central American countries. The State Department says it will suspend payments to El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Mark Jones is a political analyst at Rice University.
If President Trump believes that somehow by cutting off aid, he's going to get a change in behavior by these three governments, he's sorely mistaken. If they could do more to essentially align themselves with the United States on this policy, they would.
The announcement comes as the president threatens to shut down the U.S. border with Mexico.
If they don't stop them, we're closing the border. They'll close it, and we'll keep it closed for a long time. I'm not playing games.
Attorney General William Barr says a redacted version of the Mueller report will be sent to Congress by mid-April. So far, Barr has sent a four-page summary of the report, but Democrats say they want the whole thing. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How do you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, certainly ET or whatever they are, they all recognize our state boundaries or even our country boundaries, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, bottom line there is that I saw, and then we tried multiple times to be able, we have a science review board. We investigated like lots of these cases every month. We were going through hundreds and hundreds of reports and looking for scientific valuable ones that we could go after. And we came up with a top 10. In MUFON database. Well, and then we would have scientists that would actually look and spend more time on those. And we realized that bottom line was that you need to spend a lot of time on the exceptional cases. And so we had a situation where somebody gave us the awareness that there was a case in Puerto Rico in 2013. And it was, they shared some information about that they were in touch with a pilot. The pilot wants it treated seriously, and doesn't want to go through any UFO organization. But you guys are scientists or types. Would you be interested in looking at it? So bottom line was that we, one by one, we all came on board to be a team to look at this video that, we eventually got a hold of, a copy of. And that was the Aguadilla, Puerto Rico case in 2013. And it shows an object that came in and it appears to be coming in from the water and then goes around the Rafael Hernandez airport and then kind of goes back out what looks like to the water and then goes along the edge of the water and goes underwater and then comes out and then it splits into two objects, two identical objects. And this is a Homeland Security video. And oh, by the way, it's like 3 minutes and 54 seconds. Right. And we thought, we need to break this into individual frames and look at every pixel. And so we broke it into 7,027 frames and analyzed it, every pixel, and saw where it went behind a telephone pole and where it went into behind some trees and some other kinds of things where we could get measurements. And bottom line was, because we did that and we all signed non-disclosure agreements with that witness in order to get the video, when we did publish our report, and we just jokingly, I mean, not jokingly, but we called ourselves the SCU at that time. We're just a little coalition of a bunch of us. And that was our, like, little team name, if you would. Well, anyway, MUFON had heartburns with the fact that we didn't bring it up through them. And then we pointed out to them, you know, when we did have the powwow, we informed them that, by the way, it was reported to MUFON, and it was put in there in 2014, and this was like now 2015, and nobody had assigned the case to anybody to investigate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so the MUFON bureaucracy got their nose out of joint, and you guys had done all this excellent work, and so I can see how that might not have sat too well with you guys.
Well, it didn't set well. We became the enemy, and bottom line was that we were, you know, and I think that ultimately what we saw there was, and then what added insult to injury is in 2017 is when they brought in the Corey Goods and all the other people to look at the secret spaceship program.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well,
okay.
You know, what do you think that would do to a group of scientists, okay? Well, first off, it damages their credibility because they're associated with it. Secondly, it, you know, just overall, we saw that there was, like, this departure of science going on anyway. So we just decided to leave and create our own organization, and that's pretty much where we're going.
Okay, I can start to see now a lot more where you're coming from and why you might want to distance yourself from ufology when I hear stories like that. At the same time, I think it's fantastic what you've been doing to bring credibility to ufology for us who appreciate some critical thinking going on in the field. So that's absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I don't get me wrong. I think there's room for the cultural element because it's a very valuable part of our culture. And if we can look at that from an academic perspective, maybe in the humanities, like your associate Paul Kingsbury, who we've had on as a guest, that would be fabulous. But we absolutely also need this serious academic hard science aspect to it as well.
Yeah. And thank you for recognizing that, because that's precisely where we're trying to go. We're trying to establish credibility about this subject. And, you know, and we're trying to erase the, you know, the fact that the weirdo factor or the whatever you want to call it that's out there, and that no, it deserves serious attention, and it's deserved it for a very long, long time, you know?
So what was your conclusion? Can you just tell us about that for the Puerto Rico video then, because we heard the skeptics say, well, you know, it's just the parallax effect that's making it look like it's traveling as fast as it is. It's really a bird. Maybe it's some kind of hunting bird. It goes under the water for a moment because hunting birds dive into the water. You know, like, what did you guys come up with in terms of an explanation, if anything?
Well, we present the facts as we know them in the report. And so what you'll find out there in the general world is, to some group or groups, as I mentioned before, who might not do the homework and don't do the science, it's easy for them to come up and try to debunk it by saying, well, it's this or it's that. But in science, you've got to prove that we are wrong in our statements and in our analysis, and show where we made errors. And if you can't, then you're basically just trying to put out an alternative narrative. Now, it's not like we didn't look at those things, but okay, so let's take the bird idea just for a simple. Okay, well, we measured the speed at 85 miles an hour, and when it went to the water, it was about 110 miles an hour. Name a bird that goes 110 miles an hour, and then name name a bird that goes underwater that would still be seen in thermal, and name a bird that comes up and splits into two.
Okay? Yeah, I guess you got a good point there.
Follow that logic and apply that to some of the other things you're hearing.
Right.
And yes, I can come up and say, well, I think that this is a balloons or something like that, or mylar balloons. Okay, well, let me clarify to you that mylar in thermal is used to hide people's body. You cover yourself with mylar, and I can't detect you from a helicopter.
Yep.
So guess what? In thermal and thermal signatures, it doesn't look like the object you've got in all these 7,000 frames.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So until somebody can give us a little bit more science to show where we made the mistakes, and then they can show their science, which they're not doing necessarily.
Right.
I'm not interested in their alternative hypotheses and explanations for it.
Well, that's, you know, there's some people that say that, well, you know, you just don't want to listen then. But I would have to say that you make a really good point, because if you're going to use critical thinking and apply critical thinking to the problem, then you've got to take into account the other person's rationale. And if it's logical, it deals with the evidence at hand, and it uses proper calculations, then you're going to get something like what you're saying, say, in terms of the speed. Well, okay, I think there's a bird or two that in a dive might get going that fast, but, you know, on level flight, no. So they might say, well, your calculations for speed must be off. This is a bird that dived into the water. It picked up some prey. It came out of the water. It dropped it. There's your explanation for the two parts. So there must be something wrong with your math calculations.
We don't have anything wrong with this math calculation.
Oh, here we go.
It is perfectly accurate. There is nothing wrong with your television set. No, that's really not related. Rich, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We are controlling transmission. No. No, we don't talk about that anymore. We talk about that no more.
Oh, wow. We control the vertical. We control the horizontal, right?
I've been controlling the vertical and horizontal for years, but I'm doing it upside down.
Oh, my gosh. So keep throwing it at me here, Randall. What else do you want to know? You know, what else can I explain?
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, I'm agreeing with you, because really for those people who would say, okay, if your speed calculations are off, then it's really up to them then to show where, like you're saying, your calculations by your people are in error.
Exactly.
And it's not sufficient for them to just say that you're making a mistake.
Yeah.
Because it can't happen that way. Therefore, you must have done something wrong.
So much of what I've got out there in the way of like some pushback is people that are not necessarily scientists, and they're not applying the scientific method. And there's a whole bunch of people in ufology who are maybe science wannabes, or I don't even know if they had a science class. But, I mean, ultimately they're jumping up and down and say, oh, it's – and it's so – I see this all the time on social media. Somebody will post up a photo of something, and immediately you've got everybody analyzing it, because that's what humans do. We look for patterns. We look for things like that. We want to speculate. And so everybody needs to have it make sense in their own sense of reality, if you would. You'll see, well, that's a bird. Oh, no, it's a plane. It's something else. It's this or that. No. And they'll go on these long debates about it, and none of them will actually take and do the analysis of the actual video or whatever like that, and see that the actual the image has been, you know, altered, or they don't even have the original information, and neither can the witness provide it. So, and until you get past that and you get legitimate data, and that's why these like military cases and these like leaked Homeland Security videos are so important to us, is because these are military grade cameras, okay? That have, are seeing, we're, for the first time, we're seeing objects in a thermal range. And man, let me tell you, the spectrum is huge. And we're only going on the basis of seeing things in the visible. We're missing a lot of the boat here, because we don't know what things are like in these other parts of the spectrum. And the spectrum is like infinite. We need to get our act together from a data standpoint and data collection standpoint in ufology to help scientists now get answers about what the heck's going on.
Right. What's going on then with that? This is the other one that we were talking about, this Tic Tac UFO one, you guys. You know, in that case, we actually had people who had eyes on the object, as well as this special type of FLIR technology that took the video as well.
it's science. We like to have the data, but I mean, the human is an element where we add it into it, but it's not necessarily that credible or that helpful, again, because of people and humans' perception is also faulty and that type of thing. But the fact that you have the video, the fact that you have these radar that had captured an object that went from 80 to stop, that was encouraging. Not that we have the radar. We'd like to have the radar, by the way. I think that after having Lou and Hal here for our conference, Hal Putoff and Lou Elizondo, that we're hoping that there's a relationship that we can form, and they're actually considering that as well, whereby we can become like a think tank to help them do some analysis on cases that might be coming out. I don't know what they've got. And of course, there's a show that's going to be coming out here on History Channel that's put together. It's a mini series in May. It's called The Unidentified. And that's going to be a large amount of information that Lou's going to be able to open up and share about the whole ATIP program, as well as some other things. We're hopeful and that we're going to be able to have better cases like this. The ones that need a think tank to look at them. And again, we're very public about posting our results. we're trying to be very transparent, and that's needed. And we've been, even our report that we put together, we sent up to Congress and congressional people. We're trying to get them to pay attention to the Nimitz case, but the Nimitz case is not the only one. And there's even now the potential for a much newer case that we might be getting involved in. Again, they seem to be happening, or at least the ones, the data where they're getting data around these naval exercises. So remember we talked about water and the fact that I mentioned that they seem to be using these things, but could use that. I'm speculating, but they could use it as a base. Well, right. There seems to be a lot of water cases, and that's always been statistically one of those key indicators that we've seen with objects, that there's a water connection in some capacity.
Right. If I remember correctly, there was the Nimitz case. It was there was something spotted underneath the water to begin with.
Yeah, that's correct. When Fravor first came on the scene in their F-18s, the first thing that they observed when they got to the merge plot area where the radar merged with them and the whatever this thing was, there they looked down and there was this large, almost like B-737 kind of aircraft, kind of like sized object underwater. They didn't see an object per se, but they saw the water bubbling up.
Right. Like, I think they described it as like as if it were a reef or something, but there was no reef there.
Yeah. And then when he took the dive down closer, that's when he realized that there was this smaller object that was maybe 13 feet high and about 46 feet wide that was moving around and doing this herky jerky kind of pattern out above that object.
Yeah, and that's really amazing. Like, I take some issue with the idea that human accounts and perception are as unworthy of serious.
They're just data points, Randall. Let me clarify. They're just data points, okay? But they're not held as being credible as you would think. Okay.
Right. Like I know, but it depends on who you talk to and why. Because when you really look at human experience, there is a lot of science behind it that explains how and why we perceive things. And generally speaking, when we perceive something, like we see an object out in front of us, it's because there is an object out in front of us. Hallucinations of things that are imaginary are pretty rare. And so when you get someone, this is why they scramble jets. Can you get a visual on it, right? They'll pick it up on radar. We don't know it's there. You send a pilot out, I see it, you know damn well you've got something, right?
It is important, but, you know, again, let me come back to you. I see sometimes lights in my eyes, and they're not nothing to do with anything physical. You have phenomena of all different kinds of things out there in the atmosphere. We just don't know a lot. We only learned just recently about things called sprags. And we're starting to learn and investigate more of the atmospheric phenomena. I And we don't have answers even to a lot of that. I'm investigating out here about an hour away from me with a team of researchers. Basically, it's called Cloverdale in Alabama.
Right.
And it's very much like a Hessel in Norway in the context that there are these balls of light that seemingly maneuver and they're not impacted by the wind. They fly even against the wind. In the colder months, they appear to be about 8 foot in diameter. And that was measured because somebody was like looking at one above a railroad track.
Okay.
And they kind of, a train came by and it kind of like magnetically or something like that, attached itself to the train and went along with the train. But you have these phenomena that like Hesselin and Marfa lights and Brown Mountain lights and Piedmont, Missouri in the 1973. And the phenomena over in Cloverdale has been going on since 1973 as well. And so we're out there trying to look at this and trying to determine what we can about it. We're using spectral cameras to be able to help us to break down the chemical composition. In Hesselin, they found out that it was made up of nitrogen, oxygen, iron, sulfur, and scandium.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so, and then I talked to another researcher in Pennsylvania, and their spectral image indicated it was nitrogen, oxygen, iron, sulfur, and yttrium. So is there a chemical something or other that maybe illuminates itself, and that's right. What it is? And
could be a natural phenomenon of some kind, it sounds like.
Precisely. Yeah. And so, but we don't know what causes it. And science is still trying to, like, learn about it. And if you don't have people like me that are willing to go stand in a field all night long or whatever like that, you're not going to learn about it, right?
Let's break here, guys. And then we'll learn more on the other side with Gene, Rich, Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.